Well, this is certainly something different for all of us at this time. I know that each and every one of us would love to be with one another at this time, but due to the current events going on with the virus, it simply is not prudent, and I am thankful for the deep concern that the elders have for the congregation here, as well as the community as a whole, and the measures that they are taking to ensure that we can continue someday to be with one another. And you know, this for us and for many of the brethren right now is rather uncharted territory. And we are trying to navigate it as best as possible. And we do look forward to the day in which we will be able to come together again once more. In the meantime, though, it is important to remember that, and this is something that is not just the case during this unusual situation, but you know, this is the case all the time, but it is important to remember that we still have a great responsibility towards one another. And now more than ever, we need to ensure that we are there for one another. Right now, the media sure makes it look like the end of the world. Almost every article that is out there in the media or every broadcast that exists is in regards to this pandemic and about how bad it is, about how bad it could be, about how bad it will be. And it is definitely a serious situation. The fact that you are hearing a recording of this lesson instead of hearing it in person attests to just how serious this whole ordeal truly is. You know, the measures being taken now, locally and throughout our state and throughout our country and even worldwide are unheard of in the lifetimes of any of us that are alive today. But rest assured, the end of the world, it is not. Right? This is not the end of the world. However, we do know that that day is coming. That day in which all things will be burnt up with a fervent heat as spoken of in 2 Peter chapter 3. That day is coming. When will it be here? When will it arrive? We could not say. Paul speaks of this day in to those in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and he gives them instructions on how they are to continue to live with knowing that that great day is ahead of them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Paul would say, "But concerning the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness." Do you see what he says there in verse 4? "You, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. You are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night." And notice what he's saying there, right? We know that great day is coming. That is assured to us. We, being Christians, being familiar with the Word, knowing the Word, we are expecting that day to come. Those in the world who have no concern for the truth of God's Word or who live their lives without any concern for Christ, they're unaware of this great day that is coming, but we are not. We know it is coming. We are expecting that day to come. And because of that expectation, we are to live differently than those in the world. There should be a difference in our lifestyle. And look how he continues in verse 8 about how we ought to live. He says in verse 8, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." We are to live our life with, as he says in verse 8, faith, with love, with hope, looking unto the salvation that we have in Christ or through Christ. It is not our job. It is not for us to live and be wrathful individuals. We are not the ones who are to bring about the wrath of God against mankind. That is God's job. He is going to be the one who brings flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God. That is not our duty. That is God's job. Rather, we are appointed to look to salvation through Christ. This is how we are to live our life, with faith, hope, and love. But then look at verse 11, how he continues and how we are to live our lives towards others, towards one another, right? He talked about how we are to live our lives towards God, faith, hope, and love towards God. But look how he says in verse 11, how we are to live our lives towards one another. Verse 11, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. We have to continue to be there for one another. You know, this difficult time we are facing, we have to continue to be there for one another through this time. We need to encourage one another. We need to comfort one another. We cannot allow this occasion to cause us to become complacent or to fall short in our regards to the studying of God's word or in neglecting to pray for God. You know, perhaps some of you have at this time, because of the restrictions that have been put in place by the government, perhaps you have more time on your hands at home and more time to get into God's word and study. You know, don't neglect the word of God simply because of the circumstances around us at this time, right? Don't neglect the study of God's word. Don't neglect to pray to God. You know, Paul would continually urge the brethren to stay focused on God no matter what circumstances they find themselves in. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Right? We know of the great things that Paul himself suffered in his life for the cause of Christ. We find those things in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, all that he went through, all the persecutions he faced. And yet, even though we see that through these great times of difficulty in his life, all that he suffered, we also know from Philippians chapter 4 that no matter what he faced, no matter what set of circumstances he found himself in, that he had learned to be content. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, he says, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things, he says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Despite this though, right, he's learned, and I want you to consider this, despite knowing how to be content and living that life, being content in whatever state he found himself in, here in these circumstances in Philippians, you know, being imprisoned in Rome or by the Romans, look at what he would continue in verse 14 of Philippians chapter 4. He says, he just said, I've learned to be content no matter what. And look at verse 14. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Nevertheless, you have done well that you have shared in my distress. The Philippians, they shared in his distress, right? They lended aid to Paul in his time of distress. They gave of their means, they gave of themselves for Paul's sake because they loved him. And I want us to consider that idea, right? We really need to be there for one another right now. We need to, you know, we are all in a period, a time of distress, and we need to be there for one another right now. We need to check up on one another, see if anyone has a need. We need to be united together with one another in one mind, in word. We need to continue to encourage one another, as we saw in 1 Thessalonians 5. Encourage one another, comfort one another through the word. Edify one another. We need to, as Philippians 2 says, put others ahead of ourselves. Philippians 2, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but with lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also the interests of others. All right, we need to have, again, now probably more than ever, we need to have this great deep-seated concern for one another. Look how Paul would continue back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, right? Verse 11, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And then look how he continues in verse 12. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who are laboring among you and over you as over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, we began by, you know, talking about this idea of being there for one another, right? Comforting one another, encouraging one another. And know what Paul mentions there in verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians 5. He says, exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, but also he says, comfort the faint-hearted and uphold the weak and to be patient with all. Pursue what is good. And he says, he even continues, not only for yourselves, but for all, right? That ties in exactly with what we just read a second ago, looking out not only for your own interests, but also the interest of others. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 adds to that, that let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. We cannot lose heart. We cannot lose our faith or allow ourselves to, at this time, we cannot allow ourselves to drift apart. In fact, I hope this occasion makes us appreciate all the more the closeness and the unity that we have with one another. This is a unique situation. It's a difficult time. And we have to keep in mind one another. We have to remember that we are all longing to be back together with one another. Notice too, verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians 5 there. Recognize those who labor, those who rule over you in the Lord, right? I can tell you right now, the decisions the elders have made over the past several weeks have been unlike anything that they have had to face before. They've been unlike anything that anybody leading the church today has ever had to face before in their life. And it is a sad thing to see Christians across the country devouring one another over this terrible situation, about the decision elders are making one way or another through these trying times. And if you haven't seen it or heard it or been aware of it, then that's great, because we cannot be like that. We need to recognize the elders and esteem them, as verse 13 says, esteem them very highly in love for the works that they are doing, for the work's sake. And we need to also, as it says, be at peace among ourselves. The world at this time does not need a church. Rather, the world at any time does not need a church that is devouring itself from within. The world needs a church. The world needs the church that is united. A church that strives for unity and peace among the brethren. Again, now more than ever. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, causing trouble, and by this many become defiled. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Right now we need a peace, we need a unity, we need a love for the brethren and a love for the world. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual. It is demonic, even, he says. It is earthly, sensual, demonic, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Again, now more than ever, we need to be united with one another. We need to be there for one another, to continue to encourage one another in the Word, to continue to encourage one another to be in the Word, to pray for one another, to comfort one another, to be there to meet one another's needs. Right? We have some, many among our number, who may not be able to get out. We know we have some who still are able to get out. We have those who are at higher risk and more vulnerable than others, and we have those who have needs. And we need to be there for one another to meet those needs, and to do so with humility, with a mindset of a servant. You know, it is at this time that we can be incredibly thankful for the technological advances we have, right? We can't necessarily at this time see one another in person, face to face, in that regard, but we can. We do have an abundance of ways, an abundance of means by which we can still, again, check up on one another, be there for one another, meet those needs of others. Is that going to perfectly replace being with one another in person? Absolutely not. And nobody's saying that it does, but we are doing what we can while, and we are looking to that day in which all of this is past us and we can come together again with one another. And what a hopefully that will be sooner rather than later, and what a joyous day that will truly be. But in the meantime, we do need to continue to strive to be there for one another. I know most of you who are probably hearing this lesson are already in the body of Christ, and if you are, do not neglect your brothers and sisters in Christ now during this difficult time or ever. Right? We have so many among our number who are facing many sorrows and difficulties in their life beyond what is at the forefront of the news of our world at this time with that virus, right? That we have so many who are facing losses of loved ones or just difficulties with their health beyond these things. And we need to be there for them. We need to reach out to them, comfort them, encourage them. We cannot afford to grow complacent during these difficult times or allow these difficult times to cause us to drift apart from one another. We have to stay united. We have to stay grounded together throughout all of this. And so if you are hearing this lesson and you are not yet in Christ, and you know, you look around the world at this time, you see what is on the news about just how crazy and dangerous our world can be at times, and you realize the brevity of life and that you need to get things right with God before it is too late. Or if you've never even considered the fact that, you know, as bad as things are now, there is going to come a day when all of this does come to an end and we will stand before Christ in judgment on that great day of the Lord someday, and we will have to answer for the things that we have done in this life. If you've never considered that and you'd like to know more about what it is, about how it is that you can have the faith in Christ, the hope in Christ, and the salvation that can only be found in Christ, we would love to study these things further with you. To begin with, there are a few things you have to do. You have to hear the Word of God. John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45 tell us that no one can come to me, this is Christ speaking, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. And what we see there is that we cannot come to Christ unless we hear and learn from the Word of God. That's the only way we can come to him, and through this lesson, you have done that. We have to also believe that Jesus is the Son of God. John chapter 8 and verse 24, "Therefore I said unto you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." There's no getting around that. We have to believe that he is the Son of God, that he is the Christ, the Messiah. We have to repent of our sins. That is not simply being sorry for what we've done, but it is a change of action. That's the idea of repentance, a change of action, turning from them and turning to Christ. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We also have to confess Christ before men that he is indeed the Son of God. We cannot be ashamed of that. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven." We then must be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. This is where we come into contact with the blood of Christ that he shed for us, right? This is how we have that salvation that is only offered in Christ. This is how we get into Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. There is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism. Right? You see what that says? Some people say baptism is not mentioned in saving you. But right there, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 21 says, "There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." After we are baptized into Christ, after we come in contact with that blood, we then have to continue to remain faithful throughout the rest of our lives. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 tells us that if we're faithful unto death, we will receive the crown of life. If you've already put Christ on in baptism and you have perhaps you've neglected your brothers and sisters, right? That's what we've been talking about, not forsaking and neglecting our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you have neglected them and you've not been there for their needs, or if you've put yourself above others instead of putting others before yourself, and you need to make things right, or if you need the prayers of the congregation, that is what we are here for. That is the strength that we have in one another. If you have any need, you know how to reach myself, the elders. You know how to contact your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you have any need, now is the time to make it known.